Matthew chapter number 17. And we'll begin in verse number 1, Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. What a thought. What a thought. Did you get that? Look at verse 6. But whoso, here's some warning, shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord. Give us some good, solid, biblical counsel, biblical wisdom this morning. Lord, help us, dear God. As we do an overview, dear God, of this wonderful life that you've given us here, and Lord, we take a look at the different seasons of life. I pray that you'll help us, Lord, and especially, Lord, as we focus on the subject of children and the childhood years this morning, Lord, give us good instruction. Thank you for visitors being with us today. Thank you, Lord, for those that will be baptized in just a bit. Thank you for already the blessings, Lord, of Sunday school and song service and fellowship. And Lord, now I pray, dear God, you'd quiet our hearts, focus our minds, Lord, as we listen to the Bible preached. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Let me just take a few minutes. By the way, I just looked back and seen Sister Maxine Moore back there. My goodness sakes, what a blessing. That did your preacher good. Amen. Hallelujah. Good to see you this morning. Hallelujah. Good. I tried to see you yesterday, by the way. And no, it was it Friday, Cheryl? Friday. And we called and somebody answered the phone and said you were out nightclubbing. And so I said, well, we'll try to catch her some other time. And so, but no, I think honestly she had a doctor's appointment. So anyway, she comes to church and preacher says something like that. Although she said some doozies lately, I heard Sister Bonnie. Where's Sister Bonnie at? This woman needs to be watched, you know that? And I don't know if it's going to do any good, but she needs to be watched. But there's some things that just shouldn't be talked about that, yeah, happens in the family. And this woman, when they get old, they get out of control. I'll just tell you. It's hard raising parents. It's hard raising parents. And all right, back on track. Here we go. I've been captured by this thought of late. And the Lord slowly developed it into my thinking, into my heart, and got me into a study. And I'm excited about it. Let me kind of give you the background on it. Something that I've just quietly done through the years is I've tried to, at the end of every decade of my life, to specifically seek counsel concerning the next decade of my life. In my mind, and I don't know, my mind sometimes I don't think works like normal people's minds, but I break life down into decades. And I think Ecclesiastes says this, to everything there is a season, watch this, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And I began to think about this. I remember when Evangelist Tom Williams was visiting here, and I was 39 years of age. I remember how old I was because of the conversation we had. And Dad said, would you take Brother Williams to the airport? And I said, I'd be glad to. And so I knew at the end of the week I'd have that opportunity, so I put together a list of questions, some things I just wanted to glean from him in the hour and 15 minute ride that we would have to the airport. And one of the first things that I asked him was this. I said, you know, I'm 39 years of age, I'm getting ready to go into my 40s, and I said, I would just wonder if you could give me some counsel. Is there certain things that I should expect, the certain things I should accomplish? Are there pitfalls? Are there warnings? What is it about the 40s that I need to know? You listen, folks, I haven't traveled that way yet. And I was just trying to get good counsel. And I'll never forget his answer, because it ended up being very prophetic. And of all the things, I mean, sometimes you ask a question and think you're going to get a certain answer. You kind of got it in your mind the way people are going to answer. And then sometimes they just really surprise you. And by the way, that's why it's good to ask questions, you know. But of all the things he could have said, he turned around just like that. Just turned around. He said, I'll tell you one thing. Grab my arm. I'll tell you one thing. He said, most of your heroes will die in your 40s. And if you think about it, that's true, because we tend to look to the people and we're mentored by people that were a generation ahead of us. And, you know, it's interesting. I and I won't name them here this morning, but I've kind of identified six men that have had an amazing impact on my life that God has used to help me and disciple me and teach me some things. And you know what? Of the six men, one had already passed away when I had that conversation, and the rest of the five passed away before I turned 50 years of age. Matter of fact, the only one that was left when I turned 49 was my father. And my dad was alive when I was 49. I was going to turn 50 in August. My dad was diagnosed in March before I turned 50 with a brain tumor, and within 5 weeks was in heaven. And I thought, I'm going to blame Tom Williams for that. You know, it's Tom Williams' thought. I think he jinxed me, you know. But it was amazing how prophetic that advice was. This past week, I was in preparation for driving up near Muncie, which I did yesterday. And there's a group of churches that kind of have a get-together every once in a while, and they do a college and career age get-together. And they asked me to come preach at this thing. And again, you're dealing with people that are out of high school and into their 20s. And so one of the things I spoke on was the subject of what to expect in your 20s. And as I've been thinking about this, more and more it seemed like the Lord kept impressing upon my heart, everything to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the sun. And so I'm going to preach 7 weeks, a series on Sunday morning that I think will be tremendously helpful to you. I'm going to start with the childhood years. And I'm going to preach on this morning the childhood years, a season of growing, a season of growing. But we're going to look at seven different seasons. Next week, I'd like to preach on the teenage years. The next week after that, the 20-something years, and then the 30-something, then the 40-something. By the way, I've done all of that. I'm into the 50-somethings, which I'll preach on. And then the last one will be the senior years, and we'll glean some Bible principles. We'll look at each of these times, these seasons of life. We'll look at some of the things that the Bible says about those years specifically and try to give you good counsel, good biblical instruction. And so that's where we're going for the next 7 weeks. I wanted to introduce that to you. We're going to preach a series for the next 7 weeks on the seasons of life. The message this morning, the childhood years, a season of growing. And I want to give you several things this morning. And you say, preacher, the children aren't here. Yes. They're not. They're in their children's ministries. But can I say this, folks? Those of us who are responsible for the children are here. And you know what? This is really the group that we need to speak to concerning the children here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, children, I want you to listen, because you'll learn some things. I want you to pay close attention, because you'll learn some things. But the vast majority of our children are, of course, in children's ministries right now. But I want you to pay attention. But parents, let me say this. There's never a time where we as parents and we as a church family and grandparents and extended family, if there's ever a time that we need to build a hedge of protection and love and care around a group in our church, it's during the childhood years, those wonderful children years of our young people. Now, let me just give you several things. And again, this message and these messages, I think, will give you a lot of good Bible instruction. Number one, preacher, when you think of the childhood years, and as the Bible speaks to the childhood years, what does it speak to? I believe that the childhood years ought to be a season of innocence. A season of innocence. And you know, the Bible talks about, in our text, Matthew chapter 18, it talks about the idea of those that would offend one of these little ones. The word offend there means to cause to stumble or cause to fall. And by the way, in very harsh terms, brings warning against that. The Bible goes on to say, well, now let's just read it. It says, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, folks, these are the words of Jesus Christ. You say that may seem extreme in this day and age where it seems like we have so many crimes committed against children. And you know what? For the most part, men, women are slapped on the hand and within a few months turned loose to commit those crimes again. But you know what Jesus said? He said, you know what? You offend one of these little ones. You hurt a little one. It'd be better just to put you on a boat. Take you out in the middle of a deep lake. Tie a millstone around your... I'm telling you what God says. This is Christ's opinion of it. Say it's not politically correct. We're not worried about political correctness here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're worried about biblical correctness. And let me say something, folks. If there's a group that ought to be held to account, and I'm not sure if there shouldn't be a return to the old Main Street town square hangings, it ought to be when people commit crimes against children. This ought to be a time of innocence in their lives. I want you to just let me give you some practical advice about this, and I'm just going to give you seed thoughts and go home and meditate on it and talk about it amongst yourselves and grow the ideas. But folks, think about this. There's an attack against the innocence of our children. The innocence of our children. One of the things that just grieves me as a pastor is that the innocence of this generation is being stolen. They're innocent. You talk to the gray-haired people. You talk to people my age, folks, and listen to me. I mean, there is no way, young people, that you can really understand how naive we were growing up, how innocent, how protected we were growing up. And you know what? That's the right way to grow up. Please listen to me, parents. That's the right way to grow up. But if you're going to protect the innocence of your children, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to battle it every day of your life. You're going to have to decide to take custodial care of the innocence of your children because, I mean, folks, from the airwaves to the television set to the movies that are being put out, even children's movies, seems like everything's designed to steal from our children that innocence of life. So listen to me for a minute. First of all, let me return back to the idea of physical innocence. Folks, we've got responsibilities, and I think every parent's got these responsibilities. Number one, to protect them physically. Now, let me just sound the trumpet here, folks, because I've got to deal in my line of work with an element of things that go on that I promise you is going on behind the scenes. It's rampant in our country. We need to be aware of it. And parents, listen to me. You have to practice a level of protection over your children that is almost unprecedented in any other generation. And let me just talk delicately for a couple of minutes here. But you know what? Children, one out of every five young person is being sexually molested by the time they're 12 years of age. One out of every five. And I've heard stats that are even suggesting that it's more than that, but I think that's a safe one. Now listen to me very carefully, folks. Be careful. Be careful. I'm not sure, parents, we're not in a day and age where we don't just need to say, you know what? You stay here at home. Okay, if I can go with you, you can go. If I can't, you can't. Look right up here. I'm just trying to tell you. Oh, but preacher, you know what? So-and-so would be the last person. And how many times have you said, after it comes out, that somebody has abused a child, the people around them said, I thought that would be the last person that would do something like that. Folks, listen to me. We live in a wicked world. We live in a world where people are so bombarded with perversion. Don't think that it's not having an effect in our culture. Don't think that it's causing a warped way of thinking. And listen, remember Sunday school class? The way you think is the way you're going to feel, and the way you feel is the way you're going to act, and the devil knows it, and he's bombarding this culture with wicked and perverted thinking. And sadly, what they won't take account of, what they won't stand to account on, is that so-called freedom of the press, and they want to hide it under freedom of the press. What in the world? Freedom of speech and protect that kind of nonsense about pornography and all this stuff. What they don't understand is that somebody's picking up the tab on all of that in this society. And who's picking up the tab? The children are picking up the tab on that. And so we need to be very, 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 very careful in the protection of our children. Listen, folks, we need to be careful around here. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we need to be careful around here. We should make sure things are done right, decently, and in order. Never a situation is created in the church where there's not ample supervision, ample chaperones, and all of those. Listen, we just can't take a chance in this day and age. Hey, preacher, you're going a little overboard. Let's go a little overboard in protecting our children because they're under attack. They're absolutely under attack. Now watch this. Let me say quickly, though, we not only need to protect them physically, we need to protect our young people mentally. Now parents, listen to me. And again, I don't know how to explain this to this generation, but everybody my age and older, they understand this. We grew up not knowing much. And I think you know what I'm talking about. I mean, we grew up very innocent. My dad many, many times told me that, you know what, all the way up into his 20s, he didn't even know what a homosexual was. Into his 20s. He didn't even understand that. When the first time that idea was presented, he said, what? What? You know? And you know what, folks? I'm going to say this. Look at me and listen. Our kids know too much too early. And we have a public school program. Public school programs that are determined to begin to introduce thought process all the way down into kindergarten and talk about sex education all the way down into kindergarten and first grade and second grade. And folks, then we wonder why we have the mess by the time they're not in junior high anymore. Fifth grade, fourth grade, sixth grade, things are going on that they shouldn't even know about. They shouldn't even understand. The average teenager knows way too much. And it's not good for you. It's not good for you. Honestly, you know, I like this illustration. There was an illustration once about a man and his younger daughter began to ask questions about this. And I understand, folks, kids are going to be curious. And by the way, that's who you ought to go to, young people, for answers, because your parents not only know what you should know, but know when you should know it. But the story is told of a man, and he was carrying, him and his daughter was going on a trip, and he had a big suitcase, and she had a little one, and she began to ask him questions, and he said, honey, listen to me. He said, do I ask you to carry this suitcase? Well, no, Dad, I couldn't carry that suitcase. Why not? It's too heavy for me. He said, you just let Dad carry some things. And when I feel like you're able to handle them, then I'll give them to you. But right now, you just carry the suitcase you have, honey. And you put those questions into your heart. Don't think about them. Don't worry about them. And Daddy and Mommy in time. Listen, folks, watch this. Watch it. I'm just telling you, we're having the birds and the bees talk too early. And a lot of times, it's being forced on parents. You know why? Because, watch this, you can, oh, here comes preacher, and he's after Hollywood good. Yeah, and I'm going to stay after Hollywood. They are introducing into children's movies things that cause kids to begin to ask questions about things they should know nothing about. And brother, I'm going to tell you something. If you're a Christian family and you're going to protect your children's innocence, you just about have to build the fence long and build it high. And you've got to, listen, we've got to stand guard and watch over what our young people are reading, what they have access to on the internet, what they're watching on TV, what's coming into our home. Because, listen, the devil's stealing the innocence of our children. It's a season of innocence. Number two, the childhood years, it ought to be a season of love. A season of love. I want you to go, if you will, please, to the very last book of the Old Testament, the very last book of the Old Testament, the one right before Matthew, a book called Malachi, the last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament. And I want to read the last couple of verses. A season of innocence, a season of love. Let me talk about this for a minute. The Bible says here in Malachi chapter 4, and verse number 5, and here's a prophecy concerning John the Baptist and the coming of John the Baptist. And then we have the silent years, if you will, the gap between the Old and New Testament. And what happens immediately in the New Testament? This prophecy is fulfilled. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn, listen to this, He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Folks, listen to me. Watch this and listen to me. I believe the children years, those childhood years, ought to be a season of love. Parents, listen to me. Secure the hearts of your children. Secure the hearts of your children. Proverbs 23, verse 19, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe the man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee. Despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Listen, young people, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. You know what God said would be one of the job of the prophet that was sent to prepare the way of the Lord? He would work hard to turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers. And Proverbs says, my son, give me thine heart. Children, parents, let me say this. During your the children's growing years, the childhood years, you know what? Secure the hearts of your children. Get the hearts of your children. I mean, folks, listen to me. Watch this. Turn your heart to their heart. And in doing so, their heart will turn to you. There's something that God put inside every little boy and every little girl that's just part of the makeup of his creation, and that's it. They have a natural, Bible calls it natural affection, a natural love for mama and a natural love for daddy, and the devil tries to destroy that during their childhood years. Now, parents, listen to me. Watch this. Secure the hearts of your children. You say, preacher, how do I do this? Children, spell love, T-I-M-E. T-I-M-E. Every one of you children, look up here and let me tell you something about your daddy. There's not a child in here that don't wish they could have more time with their daddy. But I want you to understand this so that the devil don't use that as a root of bitterness in your heart. One of the responsibilities God's given your father is to be the provider of your family. You know what? You'd rather him stay home than go to work, but God commanded him to go to work. And you know what? He goes to work so that he can earn money, so that he can put food on the table. And sometimes, you know, I've never met a child that ever felt like they had enough time with dad. But one of the reasons is because he has to go to work. Now that I've spoken to you children, let me speak to the parents. Let me speak especially to the fathers. If you're going to have the hearts of your children, you're going to have to give them the time, as much time as you can. And you need to give that to them because, you know what, that's how you gain their heart. Spend time with your children collectively. But listen to this, moms, dad. Spend time with each child individually. And I think there are some things that you ought to do with everybody. But you know what, every once in a while, daddy ought to just have a date night with one of the girls. Or you know what, mom ought to take one of the children and take them to on a shopping. Listen, every individual kid needs to know this. Mom, not just mom and dad loves us, but mom and dad loves me. And so secure the heart of your children. Spend time with your children. Spend time with each child. Brother Reiser, we were talking about this the other day, and Brother Reiser, several years ago, bought a motorcycle. And he rode it for several years, had some enjoyment out of it. But he had always dreamed of wanting to take his children and his wife on a vacation down to Florida. And I heard later on, I heard after the fact, that he'd sold his motorcycle. And I said, man, you sold your motorcycle. Why'd you sell it? And he said, I wanted to take the kids to Florida. We've never been able to afford a really nice vacation getaway, so I decided we were going to do that. And we were talking this week, and he said, you know what? My kids still talk about that trip that I took. Let me tell you why that trip meant something to them. Not just because dad took them on a trip, but because they knew that he was willing to, watch this, man, sacrifice something that he really enjoyed in order to take time and spend time and build those memories with the children. Now look up here, because I don't know how every other preacher in America does it, but I'm going to tell you how I've done it. And you know what? Those of you who've been here can bear witness to this. You know what? I've been in churches where it feels like the preacher makes you feel guilty for ever taking a vacation. You're not in that kind of church. Matter of fact, I'll tell everybody in here, take a vacation. I worry about some of you that take 5, 6, 7 a year, but I mean, I guess, all right, God bless you, but I would tell everybody in here, hey, take your family somewhere. Take your family somewhere. I had a children's meeting and a workers' meeting the other day, and one of the things I said about summertime, I think I did, it was in my notes, but if I didn't, I'm going to tell you now. You know what? Bus workers, you need to get away this summer. Now, please don't all go the same Sunday. Please. But you know what? Just let us know. Just let us know. We'll cover it. We'll watch. Hey, we'll cover it somehow. We'll get it somehow. But you know what? Take your family somewhere. Spend some time with your kids. Listen, you ought to work hard, parents. Father, how do you get your son? My son, give me thine heart. Well, the Bible says that the prophet, that God was going to send the prophet to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and then the hearts of the children to their fathers. And the best way to get the heart of your children is to make sure that they have your heart. So I believe that every single adult, every mom and dad ought to understand that this is a season of love, and you ought to spend time actively making sure that you, in their childhood years, get their heart. Every girl ought to be a daddy's girl. Every girl ought to be a daddy's girl, amen. Number three, a season of innocence. Number one, a season of innocence. Number two, a season of love. Number three, listen to me, young people, and then I'm going to help the parents. A season of obedience. A season of obedience. Say, preacher, what does the Bible speak of concerning children and commands directed specifically to children? Well, I can read you one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians 6 says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Did you hear that, children? You hear that, young people? God says the length of your life can be cut down or cut off prematurely depending on how well you obey and honor your mother and your father. Now, I'm not preaching to the children here, so let me talk to the most part for those of us that are, for those of you that are rearing children. I believe the childhood years ought to be a season of obedience. Instill obedience into your children. Say, preacher, what is the most important thing that I can teach my child during their season of growth, their childhood years? Listen to me. Teach your children to obey. Teach your children to obey. Now listen very carefully. Bible says in 1 Samuel 15, watch this, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And you know what I see amongst children? Rebellion and stubbornness. And yet God says it's as the sin of witchcraft and is iniquity and as idolatry. And folks, listen to me. If there's anything you've got to focus on, listen, there's not 15. Show me if there is. There's not 15 commands to children. There's not 20 commands to children. There's one major command to children in the Bible. And you know what it is? Learn to obey. Obey your mom. Obey your dad. Honor your mom. Honor your dad. That's it. If a kid goes all the way from one, grows up, and hits 12 years of age, and that has not been instilled in them, but I'm going to tell you something. You've set that child up. Oh, preacher, you don't understand. You know what? There's all kinds of psychologists that just tell us nowadays to let them do what they want and don't suppress their spirit and don't suppress their will and let them run wild. And good night, folks. I'm telling you, I'm so sick and tired of going to a store or a restaurant and watching a bunch of children, hooligans, just hooligans. I was right here at IGA the other day, right here in Jasonville, and I watched a mother and father. Watch this. A mother and father. These are adult people. And they had a little toddler that could just barely walk and a little girl that was probably up about 4 years old. And they spent the entire time I was there, they spent trying to chase them down in the IGA. And they kept hollering for them and calling for them, calling their names. And the kids would come down one aisle and peek down. As soon as dad started heading for them, they'd run the other way. I could have showed him how to fix that in about 10 seconds, you know. Come on now. But you know what? You know what the psychologist would say? Well, just chase them. You know, just chase them. They'll tire out. Well, how does that measure up to Scripture? You know what? When that mama said your name, listen, I'm going to tell you how it worked at the Ross house when we were kids, okay? All right, we had 24 acres over in Brazil, Indiana. And it didn't matter. We could be on the farthest back part of the 24 acres, and God gave my mom one gift, a gift of the Spirit. And that is, man, she could holler. She did. She would, 24 acres between us, and she would say, boys! And you know what? It was like God in heaven gave her this magical amplification, and her voice would travel for miles and miles and miles. And we'd be clear down the creek, splash around the water, and you know what we'd hear? Boys! Boys! And let me tell you something. Watch this. You know what we learned? When we hear boys, or we hear our name, Jerry Lee, and when you hear the middle name, you better get to running, son. But I'd be playing with my friends, and I'd hear my mama's voice, and you know what I'd say? Gotta go. And do, I don't care what we were doing, what we were building, we dropped it and we started running for home. You know why? Because we knew there were consequences if we didn't start running for home. And here you got parents that can't even control their children, can't even track down their children. And the entire time I was in, I went in there to pick up three things. They were chasing them when I started. They were chasing them when I left. And I thought to myself, what in the world is going on in the United States of America? Now listen to me, folks, watch this. Children, if mama says something, you obey it. You obey. Say, preacher, my children do obey me, not right away. Well, shame on you. Let me give you a formula here. Children are to obey immediately, children are to obey cheerfully, and children are to obey completely. Now all you young men, young ladies, you listen to me. Mom and dad shouldn't have to ask you more than one time. They shouldn't have to call your name more than one time. Who invented counting? My dad counted all right. One, two. He counted, but by the time that counting started, it was too late, you know. Joey, come do this. Joey, come here. Joey, I mean it. I'm not going to tell you again. Joey. Where's Joey at? Is Joey in here? I picked the wrong name. Oh, there's a Joey. All right. Jimmy. Is there a Jimmy in here? Jimmy. Now, Jimmy, I mean it. I'm serious this time. Jimmy. What? You know, all you're doing is you're training them to ignore you. I'm going to start counting. One, two. And they're just sitting there. Three. I've seen it. What? Listen, watch this. Are you going to treat God like that one of these days? Because parents, if they will not obey you, one of these days, they will have the same attitude towards God. Hey, am I supposed to obey God when I feel like it, when I get around to it, or am I supposed to obey God immediately? The Holy Spirit tells me to do something. Am I supposed to procrastinate, put it off, and ignore it until he starts counting? And the honest truth is, folks, listen to me. This ought to be a season of obedience. Now, watch this. They ought to obey immediately, and they ought to obey cheerfully. Well, they'll do what I say, and I've watched them. And you know what? The parents finally get them and make them do it. And I mean it. And they get mad and they scream, and the kid goes stomping over to do it. And you know what? They may be obeying in action, but their spirit is wrong. Listen, young people, that's of the devil. That's wicked. I said it's wicked. It's wicked to have that attitude towards your mom. It's wicked to have that attitude towards your dad. It's wicked not to obey. It's wicked to procrastinate. It's wicked to ignore them. And if you don't get that out of your heart and get that out of your life, you know what? You're going to run into every authority figure in your life, and you're going to think you can treat them the same way. But guess me. Guess what? Your boss one of these days, young man, isn't going to count to 10. He's just going to send you out the door and find somebody that knows how to listen to orders and follow them. With a good spirit. Hey, your boss isn't going to put up with your pouting one of these days. All right? Listen to me. Learn to obey. Learn to do it immediately. Learn to do it cheerfully. Yes, ma'am. Okay, ma'am, I'll do that. And run to it and do it with a good spirit. And you know what? They are training you to be a success one of these days in your life and whatever God gives you to do. So your mom's doing you a favor. Your dad's doing you a favor by making sure that you obey immediately and obey cheerfully. And watch this, obey completely, which means this. If they told you to do something, you do it all the way. All right, you do it all the way. Take the trash out. Don't mean to pull it out of the bag, tie it, leave it laying there in the kitchen. It means take it all the way out. Whatever they've asked you to do, parents, watch this. This is what happens. We're training, again, our children to do half a job. Because we finally badger them into obeying. They do it with a bad spirit. Then they half do it. And then we roll our eyes and we finish it for them. Now, come on, what kind of character are we instilling in our young people if we allow them to do that? I think one of the worst things that you can do as a parent is to allow your children to quit a job before it's completely done. You see, folks, quitting is habitual. Quitting becomes a habit of life. Somebody is allowed, even in their childhood years, to start something, not finish it, start something, not finish it, start something, not finish it, start something, not finish it. You know what they're going to do in their adult life? Start something and not finish it. Start something and not finish it. They've got to learn to take a task all the way to the end and do it right. Let me tell you something. Parents, don't you let up on this. Don't you surrender to it. Oh, preacher, nobody raises children like that anymore. Yeah, and look at society today. How we doing? How we doing? So it's a season, folks, of obedience, of obedience. Number four, a season of learning. A season of learning. You know what I love about children? They're just like sponges. Spend time teaching and training your children. Spend time teaching and training your children. Verbal instruction, verbal instruction. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Are you hearing this, kids? Hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 4:1, hear ye children the instruction of a father. Attend to no understanding. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. You know what? Verbal instruction. We ought to be talking to our children, communicating with our children, and teaching our children at every opportunity we have. Teach them something. Teach them something. You know what, folks? Just in the course of everyday life, look for opportunities to teach them something good. If it's holy, if it's healthy, I mean practical things, I mean spiritual things, I mean whatever. Just every day of your life, try to teach your children something that they don't know. And verbal instruction is good, but watch this, folks. The Bible says, does not say, teach up a child in the way he should go. It says train up a child in the way he should go. And verbal instruction when it comes to children must accompany hands-on training. Now, the honest truth is, and I think most of us are like this, but most of us learn better not by listening how to do something, but by being allowed to actually do it with our hands. That's where you really learn something. For instance, parents, men, you can take a teenage boy or a 10 or 11, 12-year-old boy, and you can set him down at the table and say, you know what? It's time you learned how to change a tire. You may be out one day with your mom. She may have a flat tire. And you know what? Your mom has no business changing that tire. You're a young man now. So I'm going to tell you the exact steps of how to change a tire. And you can set them at the table and walk them down through the steps. And then you know what? At the end of that, you'll say, repeat it back to me. And they'll repeat it back to you. And do you know how to do it? Yeah, I know how to do it. And then you know what? You walk them out to the car and you say, okay, that tire, we're going to pretend it's flat, change it. And they're like, I don't know how to do it. I just told you. Listen, folks, the honest truth is verbal instruction must accompany hands-on training. Amen. All right. So you give the keys to the boy and you say, what did I say to do first of all? Unlock the trunk. All right. I started to go like this, put a key in it, but I think now it's just you stand there and push a button or something like that, and the trunk opens. And now where's the tire at? I don't know. We don't have one. Oh, it's there. But they just never put it where you can find it. And what's harder to find than the tire is the jack. And what's harder to find than that is a jack that actually works in the car they gave you. But you know what? If you show a boy, now listen, ladies, I think girls are this way too, but boys are especially this way. Boys learn things by putting their hands on and doing them. Doing them. What do you want your son to know? Well, he's not going to know it just by you telling him about it. He's going to know how to do it when you take him out and help him learn to do it. One of the things that Chad Gordon, he came back from Bible college, and it wasn't every guy in Bible college, but one of the things that still he's livid about to this day, if you bring it up, and Chad Gordon, as you could see earlier, can get angry. He can get very angry, you know. But one of the things he said, preacher, he said, there were guys at Bible college with me studying for the ministry that would have a flat tire and come get me and ask me to help them change it. And the honest truth is, folks, watch this. I'm not mad at that young man. I'm mad at a daddy. I'm mad at an uncle. I'm mad at a grandpa. There's somebody in that family that has a responsibility to say, son, come here. Let me teach you something. We've got 19, 20, 21-year-olds. They can't change the oil in a car. I'm going to vent a little bit. I ain't got the common sense to shut the gate after they go through, let the cows out. What happened to common sense? You know why? Because they just sit on the couch and watch TV. Because they sit there and play a stupid video game. And let me just tell you that. Burn the stinking Xbox and everything else they've got. Blow it up. Don't let them touch it the entire summer. Don't let them touch it the entire summer. And catch up on I got some teenagers really mad at me right now. Teach them to do some things that are practical and common sense. And put their hands on something so that we don't have a whole generation of idiots that can't do anything. All right, I feel better. I feel much better. Thank you very much. Thank you for putting up with my temper tantrum. I feel much better. All right. Come on now. A season of learning. Teach them something. Train them to do something. Give them practical experience. Give them jobs. And let them develop that common sense quickly underneath a season of learning. I mean this with all my heart. Please listen. I think also we ought to take time to instill within our children, young men as well as young ladies, a love for reading. A love for reading. You know what? If you can read, and you can read with comprehension, and give them stuff. Listen, teach them to read. Read. By the way, start out by reading to them. Before a child is ever able to read, a mama, a daddy ought to be reading to them. They ought to be reading to them. I started out with our grandkids reading them books. You know what now? They sit and read me books. Amen. Amen. That's where we're going with it. Teach them to read. Read to them. Teach them to read. And then supply them with good books. Good books. Something that'll build some imagination. Something that'll build some excitement. Something that'll motivate them to went out and be something and do something. Good books. Give them a love for reading. Let me help you with this. You say, well, preacher, my kids just don't like to read. Now, listen to me. Watch this. I've been in Christian education for over 20 years now. Listen to me. When I hear a kid say, I hate math, I don't like math, you know what I hear them say? I don't understand math. Because everybody hates what they don't understand. Usually a young person says, I don't like to read. You know what the honest truth, come on, listen to me, is that it's hard for them to read. They're not good readers, so they hate reading. You hate everything that you're not, that's hard. And so when you hear a child say that, you know what you need to do is set them down and say, read to me out loud. Read to me. And if they're in fifth, sixth grade and they struggle through sentences, folks, listen to me. Come talk to me. I mean this. Come talk to me. I would spend the extra money to get your child a good tutor. And there are experts. There are people that can help your child learn to be a good reader in 6 months, 9 months, I'm not exaggerating, can fill whatever learning gaps they miss somewhere along the line, whether it's teacher's fault, their fault, probably a combination sometimes. But listen, if they can't read well, they're not going to like to read. But you understand this, a child that grows up to an adult, and I'm not mad at anybody, I guarantee you, there's adults sitting in this room saying, I wish somebody would have said this to my parents. They're adults and they still struggle and it's hard for them. But you know, anything you need to learn in this world, you can learn if you can read well. And not just read well, but read with comprehension. It's not just reading, it's reading comprehension. So put within your children, go home and check up on them, put within your children a love for reading. I'm done. Let me give you number five and we'll finish. A season of salvation. And I want to finish there. We read in our text verse, no, this is not in Matthew, this was in Mark. This is in Mark. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said to them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Listen to what Jesus said next. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Now think about what he said there. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. He took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, blessed them. I think this is a wonderful picture, a beautiful picture. I close my eyes, like I can see Jesus picking up the children and loving them. He wanted to be around them. He put his hands upon them, took them up in his arms. He blessed them. He prayed for them. But he said this, listen, I hear every once in a while somebody say, well, children can't be saved. That's not what Jesus said. Problem isn't that children can't be saved, that children have to become adult-like to be saved. That's not the problem. Problem is adults need to become childlike in their faith in order to be saved. So children in the childhood years is a season of salvation. How do I make sure my child is saved at the earliest of ages possible? That's a concern of every parent's heart. Preacher, I don't want to push them into the decision. I want to make sure this, it's from God. I want to make sure it's the working of the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, as a parent, I'm concerned about them. I don't want this to... Listen, watch this. I'll give you the answer, a Bible answer. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let me give you the Bible answer. How do I make sure my child is saved at the earliest of age possible? Saturate your child's heart with the Scriptures. That's the Bible answer. What does that mean? That means get them in church. Get them in Sunday school. Make sure that they're taught week in and week out the Scriptures. They ought to know the Scriptures. They ought to know the Ten Commandments. They ought to know the Old Testament stories. You know, folks, we've worked with teenagers a long time. I can't tell you how many times working with a teenager, and it's not their fault that wasn't raised in church. And we'll begin to tell them the story of David and Goliath, and they've never heard of it before. That grieves my heart. I'll tell them, you know, the story of Daniel and the lions. And hey, by the way, Sunday school teacher, something we got to be careful of. Don't assume that everybody in that junior high class knows all of those stories. There's a lot of them that come in that don't know them. I'm not going to tell it because you guys all know the story of Daniel and the lions. Then there's a kid out there saying, who's Daniel? And he did what? And they don't know. There's adults that come in. And you know what? Sometimes as a preacher, I assume too much. And I just think, well, they probably know this. They don't know. But let me tell you something. If you were blessed to be brought in from your childhood into church and raised in the Scriptures, yes, in the church house, but also in the home. What about Deuteronomy chapter 6? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Watch this. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. Thou shalt be as the frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on the gates. And you can say what you want, but I think there's a biblical principle there that you ought to have the Word of God posted in your home. I think if you're going to decorate, why not decorate with the Bible? I think when your kids grow up, they ought to look around and see the Scriptures. I think it ought to be something you talk about. It's regular conversation at the dinner table, as you're walking, as you're feeding the animals, as you're doing the chores. You know what? Just listen, speak about your children, the Word of God. You say, preacher, I'm an adult. I've got children. I don't know a lot about the Bible. Come to church with them. Listen to the sermon and then spend the week discussing with your children. Hey, Pastor Ross said this, and he taught about this Bible story. And you know what? Honestly, kids, I didn't know a whole lot about that. But let's talk about it together. And what do you think about that? And make sure they're getting, hey, what did you learn in Sunday school? What did Brother Gordon preach on in junior church? Let's talk about it a little while. Because if we get the Scriptures in their heart, the Bible says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. The childhood years, a season of growing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that as we have talked about this very important subject, and Lord, oh my goodness sakes, rights become wrong, wrongs become right. We live in a world that's so upside down. Seems like political correctness, dear God, has trampled upon the Holy Scriptures. And Lord, if we're not careful, our thinking has become so jaded and anti-scripture, anti-Bible, anti-God, and sometimes we don't even realize how far we've drifted. I pray, Lord, please, dear God, please, that you would help us to look at this very, very, very important group. Your disciples ask you, who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus, you went and got a little child. The Bible says a little child, and set him in the midst. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would understand how honored we are here at this church. I look around in Sunday school opening assembly, and sometimes I just want to weep. We're blessed here, God. Thank you for allowing us to be a place where children come, dear God. We have the opportunity, the ministries, to bring children into church. Bless our bus workers, God. Bless our children's workers. Bless our Sunday school work. Bless Brother Gordon right now. Bless Mrs. Walton right now and all those that help them, Lord. Thank you, dear God, for the opportunity we have to influence children. And I pray, Lord, this very, very, very important season of their life, dear God, that we would take inventory and would allow the Holy Spirit to help us, to help our kids. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.